Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are into a hockey month. Welcome into Sabres Live. We are, yes, throw those hands up in the air, Marty Baron. We are 10 days away from the Prospects Challenge, first game for Buffalo.
Allegedly.
Are you suggesting schedule changes could still happen?
Some people would say there's 9 days in between, so we're 9 days away. I'm like, you know how that is. When you argue you count the day you're in? Is it starting tomorrow? Is the day that is playing being considered? So allegedly it's 10 days away. I'm with you. Oh. But there's some people that will argue that it's not.
I sensed you were going to be combative, so I'm glad you're with me right off the hop here. We'll get to another team within the framework of Sabres Live today that sports similar colors, not all the time, but they will be our team of the day. We'll let you guess who that is. But speaking of team colors and the different looks we will see from the Sabres this year, well, single game tickets are on sale now. Go to sabres.com, find out all the information. And beyond opening night, where they will host the Rangers on October 9th, and allegedly will be in blue and gold, the following Thursdays will typically be black and red as part of the black and red schedule that is out now. So yeah, a lot of throwback Thursdays, seven of them in fact, where the team will sport black and red. And over the course of the entire season, 15 home games where they are going with that look. Again, all the information at sabres.com.
So this is great for me, my planning, you know, because I like to, like, we wear the pins, right, on the broadcast, and I like to know, do I have to wear the blue and gold pin, the black and red goat head pin, whatnot. So basically, every Thursday home game this season is going to be a black and red other than the home opener, which is very easy for planning. And then the other ones, then I put a little asterisk next to my to the game on my calendar so that I know, oh, it's a black and red. But 15 of them all together, it's great. Fans love the, you know, the throwback. And now we know that every Thursday night there's going to be that type of energy, the throwback Thursdays. You know, we know weekend games are great. There's a lot of energy in the building. But to be able to get that energy every Thursday night that the Sabres are going to play at home, I like that idea of going to throwback Thursdays. I think we should embrace that and, you know, go with some throwback trivia and all of that, right, when we get ready for it, because I think that's a great way to engage with fans, and we're gonna make the best out of those seven throwback Thursdays this year for sure.
Well, a few years back when they committed to black and red once again, you and I and many others found ourselves, even in warm-ups, but certainly in game situations, looking out and seeing players wearing black and red and getting reminded of the players that wore those numbers back, yes, in black and red prior. Has that worn off for you now?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. That is not like that anymore. I don't think of the late 90s and early 2000 anymore when I see the black and red. Number one, they are a little different. They're crisp. The logo's got that red around it. It's a little bit subtle changes, but no, I'm not looking at the numbers anymore and think, oh, here's, you know, I
remember Sanderson or
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like
Brian Holzinger.
Yeah. I had Holzinger. I had Tim Connolly. I had Taylor Pyatt. I had JP Dumont. I had all of them right in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Drury, whatnot. So I think that I now 2 years later, I'm completely moved on from that. Now there is always that one time where I'm like, oh, I got to make that note because I want to go look at a stat that this player wearing the same jersey number, mm-hmm, did, and trying to find some similarities with it. But I'm not My mind has evolved and graduated to the new look as opposed to living in the past and going to, oh, like this reminds me of that player that played in the late 90s, early 2000.
Well,
do you, Duffer? Do you feel like you're...
I mean, unless somebody with a new number this year, you know, jumps in that we haven't, you know, looked at before, like maybe it's Doan or whoever. Like, I think there's always the possibility, right?
Yes.
And that's, I don't know. Those are just the kind of little added bonuses to game nights. If you're...
And it has
if your eyes are open and your ears are open.
Number to like a special player, too. Like, if you have 27 out there, it may make you think of Michael Pekka, but it's like, you know... 41, you're like, no, I'm not thinking of anybody, right? So yeah, that has to be a special number.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Isn't Jocelyn Thibault 41, but he was in the blue and gold by that point anyway.
Yeah, but I'd rather not go down that path. Like, I know you and producer Jeff are obsessed that it's goalie week, but there was a rough stretch there where a lot of name goalies were the backups in Buffalo and not a lot of guys could win. So that was frustrating. So I don't really want to go down that path.
I say yes. I don't want to blame those goalies because I feel like...
I'm not
like
blaming them either.
But there was just a transition where Millsy was really, really good, and that's the only way they could win games. And if he wasn't good, you know, the transition and the start of where we are right now in this drought was happening.
No, this was before that. No, I'm talking way before. I'm talking like...
09, 10, well, 10 even 11, 11,
go back
12.
To Rollison. He didn't have hardly any regulation wins. He didn't even play that many games for a guy that we think of a lot in Sabres history.
He had a huge, huge playoff win game one of the Eastern Conference Final. And even Steve Shields, you look at his career numbers.
I know.
Steve Shields did not play that many games, but he did have the playoff series, and he had a couple of fights, and it becomes where you're like, Steve Shields must have been here for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
No, he was not. Dwayne Rolson must have been here for that. Andrei Trefilov, like you think of Trefilov, you're thinking, man, he was here forever. No, he wasn't. Like, it's just, that's really where you're at when you look at those type of goaltenders.
Trefilov played 25 games with the Sabres. He won 8, which is 8 more than Bob Esenza.
Yeah, well, Bob struggled.
Like, seriously, it was just ridiculous. Some guys that just couldn't pick up a win.
Yes, and you needed...
Here's another one.
You needed those wins from backup goaltenders.
Ty Conklin won one game as a Sabre. He was here
but
he only played five. I know, but still.
I beat him. Last game of the season, a game in Philadelphia, the Sabres came in. They had already wrapped up the President's Trophy, so Ty Coughlin played. That game cost me $2,500 because, you know, it's you play your former team for the first time. You put money on the board. That cost me a good team dinner or something.
Tebow won 3 out of the 12 that he played. Patty Lalime only won 9 despite the number of games that he played, which was 47.
Wow.
You know, like, that was tough. And so
some people would think
that was the era that I'm really focused on.
Yeah, but some people would think that Rolly and Shields and those type of goalies were here longer than, you know, Mika Noronen or Tom Draper or Craig Anderson, but no. Mm-hmm. They were not. Like, those guys all played more games than, you know, than the Trefilov and the Lalime and the Shields and the Rolly. And so it's interesting when you actually look at the numbers, how some names that you remember because of significant moments, especially because it's goalie week. But, you know, there's other goalies that have played a lot more games.
I must say, thinking back now to Patrick Lalime, and I must have had really good luck one week.
You saw a lot of games.
Well, so Spent a fair amount of
Petty
time with my
went 9-26-5.
I know.
With but the get Sabres. This. Come on, Petty.
Get this. It, in the 9-10 season, which was Miller's Vezina win and the yeah. Sabres division win, I took Izzy, my oldest daughter, out of kindergarten, probably. It's my guess. I think she was only 4 at this time, maybe just turned 5. Took her down to Buffalo for, 3 or 4 days and saw the Sabres in succession defeat Chicago and Washington with Lalime getting a 38-save win over the Blackhawks, who would go on to win the Stanley Cup, and Miller defeating the Capitals, who would win the President's Trophy that year. Like, it was a great week, and it ended
that
up
cost, having... That cost Patty Lalime some money, too, because he had played for Chicago. So see what happens is, like, when there's money on the board, it draws this man, the guys want to win, and they want to beat your former team. You want to beat your former team, so that's money on the board right there. But, man, I love how you remember that game against Chicago as a 38-save, like, performance by Patty Lalime.
Well, we are only going to see 2 goalies on the opening night roster for the Sabres, right? Is that your prediction?
Yes. And look, I mean, Luukkonen, Lyon, and Levi, to me, in like, what is it? We're the 12th. So on the 15th, 16th, when camp opens, like 2 weeks from now, when camp is going to open or be close to open, they're going to be the main focus in camp when you look at goaltenders and seeing how the 6 preseason games are going to be split up, who's performing well, but not just in preseasons, in practice. But I really believe it's for the better of everybody, the better of Luukkonen, the better of Lyon, the better of Levi. If you start the season with 2 goalies, most likely Luukkonen and Lyon, in Buffalo and Levi in Rochester, with one of Tapias Lennonen or Scott Ratzlaff, whatever, like those two may be interchangeable between Rochester and Jacksonville. So, but everybody's got to have their spot. Mm-hmm. And if you start the season with 3 goalies on the roster, that's because something bad happened. And I'm not saying maybe Levi goes out and outplays everybody. But outplaying everybody and something bad happening is 2 different things. Even if Levi outplays everybody, I don't think that you're starting the year saying, here's the keys to the castle, Devin, because you have Luukkonen, you have Lyon, you just made those moves. I think that if something really bad happens in camp where Luukkonen is looking really, really bad, or Lyon is looking bad, and it's worst case scenario, then you would have 3 probably on the roster. But I don't anticipate 3 goalies to start the season in Buffalo at all, at least for the first month. And then, well, you got to win games. So in November, everything's on the table if you're not winning games.
Just to go back to my trip to Buffalo in December of 2009.
Did you pull the game sheet?
Miller started those 2 games that I saw. He had a 35-save shutout against the Capitals, and then Lalime only gives up 1 on 39. It was like a Wednesday-Friday deal.
Yeah.
I'm like, so good.
That is a really good stretch. Anyway. But it wasn't a throwback Thursday, Duffer.
No,
so they wouldn't have worn the black and red on
No, but it might have been an 8 p.m. Friday.
I think at that point they were done.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
I think this was 8 p.m. Fridays was a 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006,
right,
maybe. And then they went, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Okay. Anything else Sabre-y that you want to, you know?
Well,
People, like, it was a long weekend. Like, maybe you ran into somebody that prompted yet another discussion about this upcoming season, of which we are less than 3 weeks away to the opening of the preseason.
Yep.
And more than a month away from the start of the regular season.
Now, the only Sabres-related news that actually happened this morning is Samuel Milosz, who is a goalie that was drafted by the Sabres in the 4th round this past year. He plays in Rouyn-Noranda in the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League. I keep saying Quebec Major, but it's not Quebec Major anymore. It's Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League. He has announced his commitment to Northeastern University on Instagram. So, look, he's going to play in the Q again this year, which will be his third season in the Q. So I think that he's probably thinking, I'm going to play a third year. He's played one game 2 years ago, but, you know, in 3 years. And then probably go to college at the start of the 26-27 season, or maybe even the 27-28 season. Because we know now a lot of those, especially for goalies, I think that's a great idea to have the ability to play Canadian juniors and then continue on and play college and continue on to your development. So he's just announced Northeastern. So that is a Sabres worthy type of news. But obviously Samuel Milosh, if he factors into anything with the Sabres, it's probably 5, 6, 7 years down the road. So Yes. That's what it is.
Okay. We have long wanted like a little picture in picture on our show of the control room. The looks from producer Jeff today warrant his own single, square today. Like the head tilts and there's a great energy that we're feeding off.
Can we put it right here in my screen, like right over there? Like, okay.
Well, he also shared with us through Chris Baker at Sabres Prospects that Radim Mertka had a nice Five Nations event with his home nation as well. As the Czechs got some significant offense from him. So as always, follow Chris for the latest on international play, North American play, when it pertains to Sabres prospects. And, Mertka will be one to watch when this all gets going here in, the rookies are here on the 10th and 11th, really.
Yeah.
You know, the prospects challenge actually begins on the 11th before the Sabres play their first game on the 12th.
Yeah, so Radim Mertka, this may be something that over the last few days, right, golf tournaments, the Sabres alumni golf tournament, the Rochester Americans alumni golf tournament, that people have been asking about, hey, how's that first round pick that the Sabres had? And I'm very excited to see in person how is skating, how the size, how it all factors in. So he's probably the first one, right, at Prospect Challenge that I'm going to be wanting to see. How is he able to make the steps towards like, oh, this could be a player on the blue line that will have an impact for the Sabres. There's other, prospects that are going to be there, Constellanius and others that I'm going to be paying attention to. But that was a question I got a lot over the last week. You know, when it comes to prospects and draft picks, is Radim Mertka and what he will bring to the Sabres. But more like probably not as long as goalie prospects, but I think that Mertka is probably another 4 years away, maybe even 5 years away from being a full-time Sabres. Like, we're not talking the next couple of years, and then he'll probably go to Rochester. We talked about that. They have a lot of defense prospect that are probably ahead of them on what it is, the depth chart right now.
Well, unconfirmed, but your story about Milosh served as a good reminder that he is likely to be what I believe to be one of five goalies that will be there for rookie camp. And then when you look at Mertka on the blue line, I think he by far will garner the attention based on recency bias and draft status. But I know you've been wanting to see the next step after good time put in so far in Rochester for the likes of Komarov and Novikov. Mm-hmm. I think those two, to me, would be focal points when not only for them individually, but just like, let's see where Mertka is at just beside them. And how they can play off of each other in these Prospects Challenge games.
And Novikov now 2 years in the AHL with Rochester. Yeah. Sevi Komarov 1 year pro. So yeah, where is Mertka compared to those two defensemen, which I really feel are two that I think would be getting their kind of I don't want to say appearance, but they deserve a look, a longer look through Prospect Challenge, through the Sabres training camp,
right?
Some preseason games, and let's really see how they've grown from being, you know, 18, 19 when they got drafted to now 21, 22, 23, and what that difference, that 4-year difference is between a Mertka and a Novikov or a Mertka and a Sevi Komarov. So I really feel that those two are going to be, again, the blue line for me. It's where it's at because we all know Dahlin, we know Byron, we know Power, they got Kesselring. But in a few years from now, if your team defense doesn't get improved, there will be some opportunities. There will be some openings for some of those guys to step in.
Well, I know it feels like maybe to us, maybe to you, that, you know, we couldn't stop talking about the defense core, especially after Kesselring and before Byram got finalized and then ultimately when it did. But it is September. It's worth revisiting that we will obviously be looking significantly at Dahlin, Power, Byram, and their partners. But you have Connor Timmins coming in as well. But you've never seen, so you've never seen Timmins as a Sabre. Nope. You've never seen Kesselring as a Sabre. Mm-hmm. If Zach Jones like makes the seven, right? Yeah. Like if
that would be the Bryson Jones like battle.
Yeah, like do they keep eight? Do they keep seven? Like if Jones goes ahead of well, we haven't seen Jones either, and then we haven't seen Mertka. And like I know you're not really wanting to believe it, especially based on just mentioning all those names, but I'm sorry, but if Mertka has like an all-world preseason and everything, like why wouldn't he deserve to get some games? Honestly. Oh.
I get what you're saying, but I look at Radim Mertka, I'm thinking 18 years old, big guy at 6'6", not the biggest, like in terms of strength and full body development yet, that look, he could come in and really play well, and that would be great for the Sabres, but the numbers are not there for Radim Mertka to say, hey, you're going to come in and play. And if you were to play, you're probably playing, you know, as a 5'6" defenseman, and
wouldn't that be
maybe
cool?
It's a good experience.
Give me Mertka on an all-world preseason coming in and playing on as the number six. Like, I'm sorry, I get, like, maybe it's because the calendar just turned, but, like, this makes me really excited. I want to see what he does in the Prospects Challenge and the preseason if he gets a bunch of games.
I think that it's a little bit of rainbows and unicorns and, you know, the dreaming of, here it is, thank you, in the control room. There's our beautiful unicorn running across
first one of the month.
There. First one of the month, but I just don't see it. I actually was looking at the draft list from this year, and I think there could be only one that could start on a roster, and that's Schaefer, Matthew Schaefer with the New York Islanders. And maybe by Christmas, the World Juniors happen, and he goes back to juniors after that. I don't think any of the players drafted are going to finish the season on an NHL roster, the ones drafted this year. I just don't see it happening.
Marty.
Yeah. There's always somebody
Marty
that surprises
says class of 2025, not ready.
Not ready. But there's always one player that surprises, right? An 8th overall pick, a 10th overall pick, a 5th overall pick that you're like, oh, this guy's going to make the team right out of camp. So it could happen. I just don't see it happening this year.
Any idea?
Yeah, producer Jeff says, you know, Benson did. And it was like, oh, who would have thought Benson was going to just come in and make the team, right?
He's a veteran top line player now.
He is a top line left winger. That's the way it goes.
He might be. These things, you know, will be determined through the course of his play. And of course, the Sabres during the preseason, but certainly a body of work shown last year by Benson in that position. And with change, i.e., moving Paterka. There's definitely opportunity here for Benson and others, which is why you should get excited about the preseason, yes, which is just about 20 days away. Now, team of the day is St. Louis. Give us your ultimate tease about the Blues, and then we'll dive in after the break.
Somehow I've got a strong connection with the Blues personally. When I held out in the 2000-2001 season, my very first game coming back from my holdout was in St. Louis against the Blues. My very last NHL appearance was against the Blues with the Rangers. I retired after that, didn't finish that game. And Duffer, you and I have a special connection to a trip to St. Louis, which we'll talk about after the break. So yeah, there's a lot of personal connection to the St. Louis Blues. Don't know why, but it just happens that way. Oh, my first ever preseason game, Duffer. How did I forget? We're talking preseason, whatever. My first ever preseason game was in the odd. Training camp in 1995 was against the St. Louis Blues.
Who was your best defenseman that night?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if like maybe another 18-year-old kid like just happened to steal the spotlight or something. Because that would be cool.
No, maybe Jamie Key played, and he was one that got a lot of action that year in preseason. But I don't remember. All I know is Chris Pronger took a shot from the far blue line and almost scored.
Oh, boy.
He had a bomb from
And what happened? How did you recover to make the save? Like what?
So it skipped right in front of me. Like it was one of those skippers, and I went butterfly, and it toggled like a pinball machine between my knees, and slowly sneaked in behind, which I dove behind it behind me. It wasn't from the far blue line, but it was not inside the red line. It was maybe between the blue and the red, but from the far side of the ice.
Goals can happen from anywhere on the ice or on the street, and we want you to sign up for Hockey Fest today because it too is fast approaching and is the deadline because we want you to get in, signed up. It's all part of Fan Fest. This is the all-ages street hockey tournament in conjunction with Sabres Fan Fest. It happens on Saturday, September 13th. All skill levels welcome. Visit sabres.com/hockeyfest to sign up your team today. Our team of the day is the Blues. We'll talk about them next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.